Mr. Arlen Payne saying, till next time.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
Welcome to the Keeping It Real Estate Show. This is a live call-in show, and I'm your host, Luke Lewis, along with my co-host, Tiffany Young, where we dive into everything real estate, from buying and selling to making smart investments. Our mission? To educate and keep you informed on the latest happenings in your local market. We're glad to have you with us. Let's get started. Good evening and welcome to Keeping It Real Estate. I'm your host, Luke Lewis, and tonight my co-host, Tiffany Young, is a little under the weather, so she's not going to be joining us. But I've made up for that by having a very special guest on our show tonight. And we're going to get into that, my guest, here in a couple of seconds. But before I get into the program, I'd like to tell you a little bit about who we are. I am with Treasure Coast Realty Group, and we are a brokerage out of Fort Pierce right here on the Treasure Coast. And how we got started doing this show is that we had clients that were coming into the office that were either not informed or ill-informed when it came to real estate. So we decided to get a platform that would work, that we could get the communication and the message out to the masses and help people make educated decisions about buying, selling, and engaging in the real estate world. So that's how we got here. I'd like to share a very special guest. I brought that up earlier. I've got on the show, and I'm wondering, first of all, before we talk about that, how many of you have moved to the Treasure Coast in the last 5 years just because? And if you have a just because reason tonight, some of the contents that's going to be shared with you by our guest is probably going to touch one of those buttons. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome our guest to the show this evening, Mr. Sandy Woods. Sandy, how are you?
I'm great, Luke.
Good having you. We've been trying to get Sandy here for, I don't know, I think the Beatles had a number one hit on the chart when we started this process, and we finally landed. So, Sandy, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Well, my real name is Sanford Woods, but everybody calls me Sandy. That's my AKA, also known as. I'm a graduate of Western New Mexico University, degree in mathematics, minor in business administration. I was in insurance business for a couple of years, and then I went corporate. I worked for Chrysler Corporation for 16 and a half years all over the United States, started in Denver, Wyoming, Utah, back to Denver, Detroit, Minneapolis, Washington, D.C. In 1987, I was recruited back to Detroit to run a $150 million program for Mr. Lee Iacocca.
I was about to ask you about him. I was going to ask you if you knew who he was.
Yeah, I used to carry his bags.
Okay. So you ran into him a time or two in the hallway, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That must have been nice.
Yeah, he was a brilliant man. Wow. Brilliant visionary. He had a lot going on. So, yeah, it was nice. And so I left corporate in 1989, started my first business in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, how was that for you?
It was eye-opening. I thought I knew what I was doing.
You had a slight twitch when you said eye-opening. I saw your left eye jumped a couple of times. Tell me about that.
Well, they wanted to send me at corporate. They tried to keep me at corporate. They were going to send me to Michigan State to get my MBA. And they laid my career path all the way out to vice president. But I decided that I was going to go out on my own because I thought I knew what I was doing. But
we all do, right?
Yeah, I really didn't.
None of us do.
Yes, I started a brand new Dodge dealership in Brandon Dodge in Tampa, Florida.
Wow.
And the first 25 months, I lost $504,000.
Wow.
came within an eyelash of going broke.
How do you recover from something like that?
Well, I got crushed at a finance.
Always helps to have a big brother, right?
Yeah, but I've been a car dealer for 35 years, mm-hmm. but I've never sold a car in my life. Mm. And I didn't understand the retail car business, and I called my dad. And he really gave me, I call it my defining moment. I was about broke. I'd lost 40 pounds. And I told him I was in trouble. He says, let me ask you a couple of questions. He said, are you working hard? I said, every day. Open every day, close every night. Haven't had a day off in 18 months.
Wow.
He says, well, you've got it bad. He says, let me ask you another question. He said, do you have a plan? I said, absolutely. I worked for Chrysler for 16 and a half years. Plan this, process that, operational forecast, yeah. He said, well, let me tell you something. He said, I don't care what happens, don't ever give up. He said, always remember that the darkest hour is just before dawn.
Man.
If you're working hard and you got a plan, it'll always work out for you. He said, I don't care what happens, don't ever, 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 ever get up. Sit five times. And then from that point on, I went back and analyzed my plan, figured it out, and ended up with 13 car dealerships and over 50 businesses, international insurance companies, and lots of real estate.
Man, parents always just know what to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In your defining moments, they always have great words of wisdom.
Yeah,
that's one to hold on to, listeners. I would definitely write that down in your book if you don't have that one. Never, never, ever give up. Yep. So, Sandy, what brought you here to the Treasure Coast?
Well, I came over here to retire.
You're wearing a tie today. Is that your retire attire or what?
Well, it lasted about 1 month. And then funny thing, I bought my first piece of property over here where I built my Lexus dealership in 2005. And I moved here about 2 years later during the construction of the Treasure Coast Lexus, and opened in 2008. And I was looking for an emerging growth area, but I really came over to put my feet up and really just relax, because I'd sold 11 of the 13 dealerships I had, and I wanted to relax. And I did my research, and I found the Treasure Coast, and more specifically, Fort Pierce.
So you thought by condensing your dealerships into a couple of dealerships, you would have a way to kick back your feet for?
Well, yes, but
Didn't work out, did it?
Well, the reason I did it was, the car business is a cyclical business, and from bottom to top, good to bad, 7.5 years, and the industry had been running at gangbusters for 9 years, so there was only one way it could go, and that was down. So that's when, that was in 2005, that's when I started selling the dealerships and all the real estate I had in Tampa and all the dealerships I had all over the country. And I looked for the emerging growth area, and it happened to be the Treasure Coast. The study that I did, it's...
I was about to ask you that, because that's interesting to hear that you selected the Treasure Coast. Tell me some of the qualifiers that you looked over when you're doing side-by-side comparisons of where should I land. I want to hear about that.
Well, one of my jobs in corporate, I was a dealer placement manager for the western half of the United States, where we located dealerships. And so we use things like psychographics, income, population growth, and so forth and so on. So when I did my research, it's interesting about the state of Florida. In 1900, the population center for the state of Florida was in the Panhandle. That's why Tallahassee is the capital. But the migration patterns in the state of Florida are southeast. So the trend, everybody was moving southeast. Then you had all the stuff down in Miami, they were moving north. So it just so happens that all the data showed that the confluence was going to happen on the Treasure Coast within 2 decades.
Man, imagine that.
So it became very simple. Within about another decade and a half, the population center for the state of Florida should be the Treasure Coast.
Yeah, let's listen to that. Just the way you thought that out. I think people who were south were moving north. The people who were north were moving southeast, and kind of center point was the Treasure Coast.
Correct. If you take the population of the state of Florida divided out by the landmass, and people into the landmass, The population center for the state of Florida today is Bartow, Florida. Hmm. And it will dead end right here on the Treasure Coast.
Wow.
Next decade.
Wow.
So the key is figure out where everybody's going and get there first.
Yeah. You know, I think about some things I observe going through, especially Fort Pierce. Like, for instance, it is one of the only, and if there is another one, maybe I just don't know it exists, but the Turnpike and I-95 intersect within a half mile mm-hmm. of each other. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of another city in the state of Florida where they run that close together. So you can get off of one major interstate mm-hmm. or one major artery and get into another one mm-hmm. that has drop points, what I call, you know, less than load capacity mm-hmm. to make stops along the way.
And yeah, that that's exactly right. In our vernacular, in the car business, it was called the apex. And mm-hmm. when they intersect, and they intersect in Fort Pierce at exit 152 off the Turnpike, and when I first came over here, that was the exact thing that I was looking for.
Yeah.
And it became abundantly clear to me
clear.
In 2005, this was the spot.
Yeah, just look at the growth that's taking place, especially right there where the Turnpike and I-95 intersect. There's growth all over that area.
Yeah.
A lot of warehouses, a lot of industrial that looks like it's going to be like the landing page for businesses that are bringing goods and wares in so they can disperse to closer arteries like 95 and then dumping off onto boulevards and streets.
Yeah, even more so than that, you have an international airport and you've got all of these fulfillment centers that service the east coast of Florida, but I think it's even more than that because, you know, the international airport is going to be the dropping off port, in my opinion, for the Bahamas and South America.
Mm, right, you have Fort Pierce.
You have an international seaport, which is the last deep water seaport with any space available in the world. And you have a rail spur right in Fort Pierce. So everything, the confluence is right in Fort Pierce.
Yeah, and this is an interesting fact. If you take Fort Lauderdale International and Palm Beach International and put them together, the land mass for the two is not greater than Fort Pierce International Airport.
Correct.
That's crazy, just to think. So the potential is unlimited possibilities.
No question.
So what have you seen change since being here? I mean, you've had to see a lot of change. You got here in what year again?
2005.
Okay, that's 20 years.
Other than everything, this whole area, you're seeing the population growth. The fastest growing city in the state of Florida right now is Port St. Lucie.
It is.
But the interesting part about Port St. Lucie is Port St. Lucie doesn't have what Fort Pierce has, and that's the water.
Yep.
Water is magic. You know, the state of Florida is a peninsula, water on three sides.
Yeah.
And you have the most beautiful water at the port of Fort Pierce. It looks like the Bahamas. It's the turquoise water.
It's beautiful water.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's going to be a major draw to a lot of people.
Wow. Are you seeing anything special happening here on the Treasure Coast? And when I say Treasure Coast, it's inclusive of, you know, we talk about Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, mm-hmm. some parts of Jensen Beach in that area. Anything you see happening that just seems to be pulling people in from other places?
Yes. As a matter of fact, since I got here in 2005, I've acquired over 100 acres in St. Lucie County and about 40 acres in Martin County. And mm-hmm. we've got a massive project coming out of the ground in the next 45 days in Stewart. And we have about 19 projects that we're working on right okay. now. We have a massive project that's into the city of Fort Pierce right now. It's a $200 million project to build two hotels. And that's the big problem with the Treasure Coast right now. They don't have hotels. If you're going to be a destination, a hospitality destination, you have to have hotels.
You got to have a place yeah. for people to sleep.
Yeah. And that was one of the contingencies for Brightline. They wanted to have a minimum of 300 nice hotel rooms.
Ooh, sore subject.
Yeah. Well,
that Brightline subject.
Well,
nobody wants to talk about it, but truth be told, right?
Yeah, truth be told, but you know, that's just one sect.
Yeah.
There's another
yeah.
prospect of railroad traffic into the Treasure Coast other than Brightline.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be coming out here pretty quick.
Well, I want to go back to the Brightline because I don't think a lot of listeners understand there are so many thoughts and processes that went into planning to determine mm-hmm. who should get what mm-hmm. and why. Mm-hmm. Better yet, why not? Mm-hmm. So if you could go over some of those details that were items that added to or took away from who was decided that was going to get the project in the end, I appreciate if you share it with our listeners.
Well, there were about 15 items that they considered. And number one item was the number of hotel rooms, which in Fort Pierce, there weren't any
yeah.
that, of any substance. In Stewart, that's where my Toyota store is, they have been very progressive about hospitality.
Very progressive.
Yes.
And, absolutely.
And there's more coming in Stewart. The county, Martin County, and the city of Stewart have been very progressive, but it's measured. They don't want to go crazy about the population. It's a nice town. It's, you know, it's the yachting capital of the world, actually. So they're doing it scientifically. And the people that they have in office now, they're looking at it very closely because they don't want to ruin what they have. It's a,
yeah.
it's a beautiful venue, and they don't yeah. want to ruin. The problem with Fort Pierce is Fort Pierce didn't have any hotels. And as a matter of fact, several of the people at Brightline, because I had a couple of Zoom calls with Brightline, and they were very interested in my project. They said, well, when can you get this built? And I said, well, as soon as the city gets me the permit, we're looking at 24 to 30 months, all done.
So I know you think you dodged the bullet, but we're going to talk about your project because I wanted it. I was hoping you would say something so I could lead into that, and I didn't even have to do it. You just put it right out there. So before we go into that, I'd like to just remind our listeners, if you're out there and you'd like to add any conversation or content to the discussion we're having this evening, the call-in number is 772-221-1100. Again, the call-in number is 772-221-1100. 1100. We'd love to hear from you. So, Mr. Woods, let's talk about that project since you brought it up. So, let's get into some detail about that project. It's interesting. I've heard a lot of people talking about it, a lot of backroom discussion, seen some articles in the paper, some renderings. Mm-hmm. But to get into depth, I think we're getting a caller, but I'm going to keep going until Karen transfers this over. We're going to go ahead and take that caller. What you got, Karen? Caller, you're on the line? Hello? Caller, you're on the line.
Hello?
Hi, go right ahead. We got you.
Hi. My name is Patricia, and I've just returned to the city of Fort Pierce, which is my hometown. And I've been gone for quite some time, and now that I'm back and mm-hmm. plan to be here with my aging mother, Mr. Sandy, could you please share with someone who would like to see what can she add to the future of building up Fort Pierce? I know with the hotels that are coming, that will be great. However, for those of us who may not have that type of income to add to the growth of Fort Pierce on the level on which you are, what is needed? What do you see that is needed that can also help the growth of Fort Pierce, please?
Well, that's a great question.
Thanks for the question. Yeah, that's a very in-depth question. The number one thing that's needed in the city of Fort Pierce, as the state of Florida, is affordable housing. The governor has made that a mandate of his as being governor, and I don't know if you know this or not, but they signed into law a little over 18 months ago Senate Bill 102, which is a Live Local Act, which basically takes away from the city or the county the density requirement per acre and the height restriction. It's all done by the state, and the city and the county has nothing to do with it because all the people that are moving to the state of Florida, where are they going to live?
Got to have somewhere to go.
Yeah. So bottom line, it funnels back into what Mr. Lewis is saying relative to it's all about real estate. Let me tell you a little quick story. When I came over here in 2005 and bought my first piece of property, bought 11.56 acres to build my Lexus store, the guy I bought it from was a real estate attorney. And he said to me, he said, if you put your money in the bank right now, and the interest rates were very low at the time, they were 1%. He said, how much money are you going to get interest on your money if you put it in the bank? I said, 1%. He said, if you buy real estate in the right location at the right price, it will double in 5 years. In other words, it goes up by 100%. So you take 100% and divide it by 5 years, that's 20% a year. He said, which one would you rather have, 20% or 1%?
Show me that bank. I want to put some money in it.
Yeah, so that was very eye-opening, and that's what started from there. I started with the first 11.56, which I bought from him, and then I started buying and have over 100 acres. And right now, in on the Treasure Coast, the real estate's not going to get any cheaper than it is right now.
Exactly.
Within 5 years, it definitely is going to double, if not more than that, because they're not making any more land.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a great question, listener. And thank you so much for calling in. And I think in short, what Mr. Woods is saying is that at whatever level of capacity you're capable of getting in the game, get in the game. You've got to own some real estate, no matter what it is, because it can only go up in value. So thank you so much for calling in, and we appreciate you calling. So Mr. Woods, back to your project. Let's talk about that. Let's give me a little detail. Let me have some meat on this one.
Well, we have on Seaway Drive between the Square Grouper restaurant and the Manistee restaurant, and just across Seaway Drive, we have 4.75 acres. We're proposing 103 condominiums, a luxury, it's not really a luxury hotel, it's a boutique hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 44 rooms there, and then we have an all suites hotel, which is 131 units, so we have 175 units, and that's what piqued the interest of Brightline. And we have an event center. The former sheriff, Ken Mascara, and I were talking one day, and I asked him, I said, what is it the city of Fort Pierce need more than anything else? He said, an event center. He said, the sheriff's department want to come have a meeting in Fort Pierce, but there's no place to have a meeting.
Absolutely not.
No hotel rooms and no event center. They have to go to the Vero Beach or they have to go to West Palm Beach. So we put an event center in there, and it's 20,000 square feet. It'll hold 600 people in the ballroom, and there's breakout rooms. We've got proposals for 13 different restaurants. We'll probably end up with 5 to 7 restaurants. We're going to have a private club in between one of the phases, and it's a $200 million project.
Wow, and that's right here on Fort Pierce Beach, right?
Right on the inlet. The economic impact of it is the scary part.
Yeah, and that's what I want to hear more about. Like, how do people that live here, you know, benefit from the project itself? I know it's going to bring a lot of tourists in and other incendiary things, but tell me how the people locally will benefit from such a project in their city.
Well, we have basically taxes.
Yeah.
The taxes off of a project this size will help schools, fire departments, law enforcement.
Wow.
The construction impact of this project will be $85 million in output during construction. Then the residual income amounts to $25 million a year. So if you take a look at the operating budget for the city of Fort Pierce, this project will bring in more during the construction than the entire operating budget for the city of Fort Pierce.
Wow.
In addition to that, we're estimating jobs. 515 jobs and a residual.
And you're talking jobs for people doing the construction process.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And then we have an additional 154 every year subsequent to that.
Yeah, and that'll be for people who just get in there and do hospitality or
correct.
Security or valet or whatever it is that takes
correct.
Place in a hospitality environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the two things that the city and the state need more than anything else is good jobs and affordable housing.
Yeah. Wow, that answers, and that rings a lot of bells. A lot of bells. I'm sure hoping that someone who's out there listening and has any position or authority to help make that come true, engage and take a real good hard look at that, because there's nothing I could think of better than helping somebody find gainful employment and find a way to make themselves a path forward. So tell me quickly about real estate. Why is investing in real estate such a good idea?
Well, they're not making any more of it, for one thing. And you can't depreciate land, but you can depreciate the building. So if you develop real estate You can, for example, typically I put a parking structure on all of the projects that I do because a parking structure is on a different depreciation schedule. And depreciation, you depreciate the value of whatever you invested in the parking structure against your income. Mm-hmm. So it reduces your income. So bottom line is you write the whole thing off. It's they pay for it. Mm-hmm. So you just take it off of your income. Mm-hmm. So a parking structure is on a depreciation schedule of 15 years. So you take whatever value you have in the parking structure. If it's $15 million, you depreciate $1 million a year. You write it off your taxes.
Wow.
So you're paying a lot less. The normal useful life of a building is 39 years. So you take that, whatever your actualized cost, it was $39 million. You write off $1 million a year against your taxes. Consequently, it's a built-in built-in profit structure for you.
Wow. You know, I know we're talking on large scales when we hear that, when listeners hear the numbers that we're discussing, but the rule of real estate, this applies to every project that you do, regardless of size. There are ways to make money in real estate, whether you're spending $50,000, $100,000, $1 million, $10 million, $1 billion. You've just got to make sure you become educated, learn what you need to do, and then practice that skill set so that it becomes profitable for you. What tips do you have for first-time investors, Sandy? I know it's scary for people who always, you know, had that norm and want to do something different.
Interesting. When I left corporate in 1989, I started my first business with $139,000. Mm-hmm. My first real estate company, I started with a negative $50,000. My advice to anybody that is looking for tips on what to look for. If you're going to gamble, gamble early. Hmm. Because everybody makes mistakes. I told you a story about where I lost $504,000 my first 25 months.
And thank you for sharing that, because that was very transparent.
I almost went broke.
Sharing that part too was good.
But it was the best $504,000
you probably got it. This is probably the first time we're going to have listeners on this show that say amen. You know, a lot of people been there.
The other thing is figure out where everybody's going and get there first.
Yeah.
You know, it's the thing that I try to do now is I look at business as a game, and I play Monopoly and chess. The object of chess is you have to control the four spots in the middle of the board. And the object of Monopoly is you buy the pieces on the board, and somebody lands on Park Place, they got to pay. Mm-hmm. So the key is figure out where everybody's going and get there first.
And what about using money? How are you about using other people's money? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, the biggest impediment to when you first get into business is access to capital.
The hardest part.
76% of the people that start off in business go broke in the first year because of lack of capital. It's not management.
Yeah, seen it happen. Yeah. Doors open, doors close.
Yeah, if you have enough money, it'll buy you the time. That's what happened with me. If I hadn't capitalized for $1 million, I'd have been out.
Wow.
It wasn't my money. I used OPM, other people's money. I used Chrysler's money.
Yeah. Same thing. Well, guys, that's how it went, right? That would be the end of that story.
Well, I called my old bosses and I said, hey, don't panic yet. And they said, look, if we call you, you called us.
Wow, that is great. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's been great having you here on the show tonight. And we could go on and on with this conversation. This has been one of the most entertaining shows that I think we've had ever on Keeping It Real Estate. And to have you come in with your wisdom, expertise, and hopefully keeping people out of the snares is going to help some people get to where they need to be in this game of real estate and investing. So I want to thank you for coming on our show tonight. Thanks again for being our guest. And folks, tune in next week again at 5:30 for Keeping It Real Estate. Why don't you say goodnight, Mr. Woods?
Well, good night, Luke, and thanks so much for having me. And to everybody on the Treasure Coast, you live in paradise. Just another day in paradise.
Enjoy it. Good night.
You've been listening to the Keeping It Real Estate Show with your hosts, Luke Lewis and Tiffany Young. Thanks for tuning in as we explored everything you need to know about buying, selling, and investing in real estate. Our mission is to keep you informed and ahead of the curve in today's market. Be sure to join us next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for more expert insights, tips, and local market updates.